This program is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
And it hit me. These two legends were hanging up their lederhosen and calling it quits.
I'm Josh Mengi.
And I'm Stein Schmengi.
And we're the Happy Wonders.
John Candy and Eugene Levy play the Schmengi brothers in The Last Polka. By 1985, when this mockumentary came out, polka music had long been dying. But in certain parts of the country, it's grown and thrived. For KFAI, I'm Carrie Swigum, and this is Polka's Not Dead, Part 2. If you caught the first half of this two-part series, you heard about polka legends in the Minnesota music scene and how this homegrown music became so entrenched in the region. In this part, we'll explore what keeps a tradition fresh and alive.
We're having a polka party in Ennis, Texas with Jim Busta and Squeezebox. Hey! That's right, he came all the way down from Minnesota to play...
Molly Busta is 35 years old and hosts the most popular polka TV show in the country.
I am not going to try to lie and say polka music is more popular than it was in the 1970s, because it's not. It still has its place. It still, in some places, is growing. Some places in the country, it really, truly is growing. But overall, we have less musicians. We have less dancers. We have lots of people that just kind of follow it in general.
21st century polka is a mix of distinct styles and ethnic traditions. Rarely do bands play just Polish tunes or only polkas and not two-steps.
We prefer not to have crowds that come that only want to hear a certain style of music because then you eliminate, you know, some people that do want to come out. And we've almost created a generic style of polka music.
In 2006, Molly joined the Ohio band Squeezebox. They tour the country playing sold-out shows from Arizona to Florida and to the upper Midwest. Her career started in Spring Grove, Minnesota, playing in her father's band.
When I was 3 years old, I was singing with him. When I was 8 years old, I was his keyboard player. When I was 11, I became his regular trumpet player. And then from that point on, I just added more instruments.
It's strange enough to find a young female leading a polka band. Molly does it while switching between 8 different instruments in a floor-length gown.
Now, I had an opportunity to actually pursue a career in L.A. They saw, you don't mind me saying, they saw a good Midwest girl that was genuine and one that was sincere. And so this lady called me up, and within about 5 to 10 conversations, we just kind of realized the L.A. thing was not for me.
Molly has been described as a polka heroine. When she plays on stage, it's clear that she loves what she does. For the last 4 years, Molly B has held the title of favorite female vocalist at the International Polka Awards.
Hey, this one called the Red.
Though polka has its roots in Europe, the sound we hear in the U.S. today is distinctly American. By the 1940s, polka was no longer immigrant music, but that of ethnic Americans. Jim Leary, a folk scholar at the University of Wisconsin, says this was a stance emphasized by America's polka king, Frank Yankovic, by renaming his Slovenian Cleveland-style band, Frankie Yankovic and His Yanks.
There were bands, like there was a guy named Sil Liebel who was originally from Minnesota. He named his band the Jolly Swiss Boys, even though they played in a German style, because he told me years later, Switzerland was a neutral country.
During World War II, anti-German paranoia and pro-American patriotism met the polka world.
Every German is a potential source of trouble. Therefore, there must be no fraternization with any of the German people. The German people are not our friends.
St. Paul's German house became the American house, and foreign speakers were discouraged from speaking in anything but English. The German Czech band Whoopi John, one of the most prolific entertainers during the war years, didn't escape suspicion. His son Pat was accused of pounding out truth movements in Morse code on his drums, to be deciphered by dancing Nazi agents.
And the FBI apparently issued an official disclaimer, you know, saying that this was a totally false rumor against Whoopi John. But earlier, there were these brothers in Wisconsin, the Peters brothers. There were rumors then that when they had imported concertinas from Germany, inside the works of the concertina, there were, you know, like secret messages from their spy masters.
Since the First World War, German imports had already become hard to come by in America.
The concertina, for example, couldn't be easily imported from Germany, and which, you know, had the happy consequence then of stimulating people here in this country to kind of make and repair them.
The war had a positive, but perhaps an unintended effect of influencing and spreading popular culture.
During the war years and in its immediate aftermath, a lot of soldiers who weren't necessarily familiar with Germany, for example, or parts of Eastern Europe, all of a sudden were acquainted with those areas, and they had a certain curiosity for music and the ambience of those places that they could find in a kind of a new form in America through polka music.
Rock and roll and jazz also influenced the evolution of polka music.
Polka bands from the 30s on became fairly adept at playing both in polka styles and in big band styles, and eventually polka bands began to incorporate elements, certainly in the 50s and the 60s, of country music and rock and roll.
Polish bands are the most progressive of the bunch. They will take rock and roll tunes and make them to a polka.
The devil came up to Minnesota. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was...
That's Craig Ebel. He's considered a walking polka archive. He broadcasts the country's most syndicated polka radio show from his home studio in Andover. The walls are neatly lined with thousands of albums, including this Polish-style tune by the Morzynski Brothers Aleatoric Ensemble.
Pretty good fiddle, son, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret. I'm the best that ever been. Johnny, rising up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Hell's broke loose up here, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get that shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Not all polka bands embraced the change. The Dutchman style that defined the Minnesota sound in the first half of the 1900s failed to innovate after the war. Here's Craig Ebel.
There's never any new music for the Dutchman stuff. The bands that play nowadays are playing the same songs that they've been playing since the 40s and 50s.
Roll up a barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun. Roll up.
This is my favorite. I like it all. I love all styles of polka music. But if I had my dream to play in push-style polka bands, this would be one of them.
Polski, Polski, where's your Polski?
Craig and I listened to this band, the Dynatones, on a visit to his home studio.
Smooth, driving, smaller band. No need to have a bus. You can have a van and a trailer pulling the band. And a lot of stuff can be done with Polish bands. Pants, where's your pants?
The progressive Polish sound dominated polkas in Minnesota from the 1960s on.
And then around the 60s, came out with Push Style, kind of a dino push style. And it's the most modern of all the polka musics. You want to go to a polka fest where there's lots of young people, go to a Polish style, push style polka festival. I mean, it's, you have 8-year-olds, you have 80-year-olds, a lot of drunken teenagers and everything in between. It's like a mosh pit. It's like they're up there partying and right up in front of the stage.
As sweet as candy is the music in my mind, like homemade apple pie with ice cream on the side. As sweet as candy, delicious is the sound of happy polka music in a happy polka town. As sweet as candy, it's like sugar on a stick.
In Minnesota, the Jolly Brothers were the first band to embrace the new Polish sound. Bill Cherniak called it an awakening when he saw Chicago Polish legends Little Wally and Eddie Blazanczyk perform in Minneapolis.
We were all young, you know, we were in our early 20s. We were kind of the Rolling Stones of the day because, well, our color was pink.
Bill played with Tom Rosinski, the lead of the Rosinski Brothers' Aleatoric Ensemble. They pushed the sound and the outrageous style. This is Bill Cherniak in a 1990 interview.
You know, pink is not exactly your conservative color. And we got a lot of funny eyebrows when we traveled to places like Baltimore and Chicago and Detroit with these pink outfits. And we did a lot of things like I would get on top of the accordion player's shoulders and play my concert team. We were a show band, okay? I don't know how else to describe it.
The Mosinski Brothers established themselves as one of the most innovative and popular polka bands in the nation during the 1970s. Moving from traditional ethnic tunes to an innovative, more modern style created a rift in the polka world between old and new.
Sort of evolved into a situation where many of us were forced to become variety bands, and we had sort of betrayed the polka purists because they came there and they wanted to dance polkas and waltzes, and half the night they had to listen to other styles of music that they may or may not be perfectly, you know, real interested in. You know, I have nothing against country western or rock music. I enjoy it. I play it. But if this is something that I, you know, really want to put my heart and soul into, it's got to be the old-time music.
Bill and wife Mary Lou formed the band Polka Soul in 1974. By the time this interview was recorded, they had written 120 original songs. Tom Rosinski established Aleatoric Records in 1975 and recorded many of Minnesota's premier Polish-style polka bands like Renata and Girls, Girls, Girls. This was an all-girl polka band from Cloquet, Minnesota. To polka enthusiasts, tradition is front and center. But post-war, a movement started taking place to not only preserve the music, but to save it from disappearing. Nathan Newman has been known to show up at a gig on his motorcycle with an accordion strapped to his back. He is a regular musician at the Waite Park Legion and the Osakis VFW, not to mention church and polka festivals and nursing homes around the state. He plays the old favorites that everyone knows, but he has his own ideas to spice up the music, with cues from rap and pop.
I feel like there could be a lot more energy, and that's what the younger people are missing. That's what they find in the really loud bass and the rap and even pop music. It's exciting. There's a lot of high range and full spectrum sound coming through, and I think those are great ideas to think about incorporating into polka music so that the kids can be excited about it.
At 20, Nathan is the oldest performer in his old-time band.
And that's why I like the Polish style, because it's always moving. Chicka, 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 chicka. And even with music selection, sometimes we hear a song on the radio and say, oh, you know, I wonder how this will go to polka music.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, but now you're in my way. I trained my soul for a wish, pennies and times for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, golden hair was flowing. Hot night wind was blowing. Where you think you're going, baby? Hey, I just met you.
You range from 9 years old to in the 20s. Next year in March, it won't be entirely a teenage band anymore, because I'll be turning 20. But yeah, we're still young, and we use teenagers. We focus on using the youngest people possible.
One of those young musicians making a name for himself is Josh Eitzer. He plays the concertina. At 17, he has been dubbed the young master. He did this solo release when he was 14 years old. It's not unusual for a polka artist to start young, as instruments are often passed through family. Nathan was 14 when his great-uncle lent him the family concertina.
Probably the biggest challenge was I always wanted to practice. And so then my parents moved me from my room into down in the basement, and then into the garage, and then into the shed. I kind of had the mentality of I wanted to impress people with the music. And over the years, that's kind of turned into, I just want to share joy with them. Just like how Christ has come into my life and shook things up and made me into a happier and more peaceful person, that I want to do the same for others through music.
Nathan often plays polka masses in the St. Cloud area and at St. Casimir's Church in St. Paul.
We bring out some of the old hymns in Polish and turn them into polkas or waltzes. But as far as up here, we, unlike a lot of other polka bands, we do every mass according to the liturgy, just to really bring out the beauty of the readings and how they can flow through music as well.
The polka mass is not a Minnesota invention, but was made famous by a Minnesota priest on the Iron Range. In 1973, Father Frank Perkovich introduced the polka mass to the world. Here he is in 1990.
All the neighbors would listen, everybody came around, and it was a very joyous occasion, which all these songs were sung, which are, they're just part of my life, they're in our bones, they're part of us. And so, having that background and remembering those beautiful songs, I said to myself, I think we have something here. I'm going to take the songs, some of these folk songs, put some church words to them, and that's what happened.
Well-known polka numbers turned into songs of praise. For example, Perkovich changed the lyrics of Tavern in the Valley to Church in the Valley. The Barking Dog polka became We Offer Bread and Wine.
I would say it was an instant success. It was something that people couldn't believe. I was apprehensive, I have to admit this, to have a polka band in church, really. You know, beer hall music in church. People dance to this music, they sing to it. But anyway, I thought, why not put it in the church, in the liturgy? And so I had it that first night there at Eveleth. My mother, my dear mother, of happy memory, begged me, son, don't have the polka mass. Like all mothers, you know. What will people say? See, what will people say? Well, they're saying it, Ma. The people love it. It was an instant success. Right after Mass, people came up to me and congratulated me, and the doorbell rang, the telephone was ringing, and that's what happened. And then a week later, then a call from one of the large newspapers in Chicago heard about it.
They took the Polka Mass on the road, touring from parish to parish. In 1983, Perkovich played at what he called the Carnegie Hall of the Church, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome.
We had a mass at the high altar. We also had an audience with the Holy Father, in which we sang and played all of the songs from the Polka Mass, and he was pleased with it and gave me his blessing on the liturgy of the Polka Mass. So I feel it's very unique, a contribution, and it came more or less from the range, from these people who settled on the Iron Range.
Perkovich wanted music in his church that his congregation could identify with.
Myself, coming from the range, with the cultural background of the Slovenian people, the Yugoslav people, the culture, the history, the whole thing, the food, the music, I grew up with it.
The Polka Mass took off around the same years that dance halls closed down or converted to rock or country music. By the 1980s, there weren't as many performers either. Some moved east to Ohio and New York, where bands could find gigs and the energy of large dance crowds. Bill Cherniak found that out firsthand.
In my own case, I had many, over the years, many talented musicians who either moved east so they could play polka music, or got into other styles of music because the money wasn't there. And I'm sure that's the same with many of these other ethnic groups, you know. But it's still vibrant in terms of there's a core group of people that just love it, and we don't have any problem getting work.
There are a few places left in Minneapolis and St. Paul to hear polka music, but not many. The closing of Nye's Polonaise Room in Northeast Minneapolis is the end of another chapter in the polka world.
Nye's Polonaise Room is
called an institution in Minneapolis. Nye's Polonaise Room,
one of the most iconic landmarks in Minneapolis, is about to be no more.
The world's most dangerous polka band played there every weekend for 35 years.
I need them because without them, you ever heard a trumpet all by itself? It doesn't sound very good.
That's Joe Hayden in a 2007 documentary of the band. Since the taping, two of the band members have died. Joe said he'll keep playing when Nye's closes, but he's not sure where. There are two main things keeping polka music alive today. Nick Shimoleski is a witness.
People always say that if you have a good Polish band, it's the equivalent to having the crowd of a rock band. I mean, everybody is there and they live and die to hear that band. And I got friends all over, anywhere from 18 to 32 from here to West Seneca, New York, that are just crazy about polkas.
Nick is in his early 20s and plays in the family band. His grandfather, Florian, is a leader. The Shimoleski family have been playing polkas in Minnesota since the 1880s. Here again is Craig Ebel.
I wish there was 20,000 more people like him. Maybe the polka wouldn't be kind of dying.
Family tradition keeps polka alive, but also the remaining large festivals that can draw thousands of attendees. The craft beer renaissance also has had an effect on polka musicians.
Craft beer, wineries, making your hops and stuff, and everybody's putting on Oktoberfest, and all of us bands are getting bombarded 3 weeks before. Hey, can you play word Oktoberfest? Oh, when is that? October 11th. Is that? Oh, for next year? No, 2 weeks from now. I go, you got to be kidding me.
It's the 37th annual Pulaski Polka Days at the
Pulaski Days in Wisconsin attracts people from all over.
July 16th through the 19th. This year's Pulaski Polka Days features over 20 of the nation's top polka bands, including Box On.
All ages come out for the annual event. And it's one of Molly B's favorite places to play.
Loud, roaring truck went by me, which usually I'm not a big fan of, but this one I was a fan of. They had their windows rolled down, and they were blaring polka music. I looked over, and it's like teenagers.
Majeski, Chad Jabilski, and many, many more. Returning to this year's Pulaski Polka Days are the polka country
musicians. But this was not the first example. This was my first example, and it wasn't the last. I learned that Pulaski, Wisconsin would have polka bands for their prom.
And a parade on Sunday. It's the 37th annual Pulaski.
You seek out the costumes they used to wear, or the foods, and generally the music kind of goes with it. And if it's tolerable, you like it. I can't imagine some of these musics that people grew up with. Or there's some bad stuff out there. There really is, but there's some awesome stuff too.
I don't care if the sun don't shine. I don't care if the bells don't chime. Just as long as you love me.
Craig Ebel and his family played together in a band called Diversico, including his wife Lori and their son Christopher on the drums. On this track from their 2013 album I Hot, Christopher is 8.
Just as long as you love me. North or south, east or west, you know I will stand the test. Just as long as you love me.
We used to listen to the radio and have breakfast in the morning listening to polka shows or listening to polka radio stations. And I mean, it's different now. Some people, they grew up and, you know, they listen to Alice Cooper and the Doobie Brothers or whatever. And that's what they listen to on Sunday mornings. We listen to a polka show, and that's, we just kind of grew up that way.
I don't care if the bells don't ring, just as long as you love me.
And here again is Nick Shumaleski.
I think why it's staying so current and staying so popular is because families are keep introducing their families to the music young, taking them to dances, you know, getting them to enjoy the music, and I believe that's what's keeping it alive in the United States.
North or south,